It's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 14. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another concerning, to another discerning of spirits, to another different of kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. May the Lord give us truly understanding of his holy word this morning.
Thank you for continuing to be patient with Joy and I as we get to know you and get to know your names. And there is Heidi. Hello, Heidi. Antonio, nice to meet you. We did pray for you before. Probably helped you get here without getting fined or something. What I'd like to do over these few weeks when we're getting started together is just to touch on a few classic passages of Scripture that to me are just so foundational for us understanding who we are as a group of Christians. I hesitate to use the word church these days because we're so wired, so hardwired to think of church as the building or church as what we do on Sunday morning. We go to church. Were you at church the other day? Well, you know, the church is the people, and that's so simple, so foundational. But I think sometimes we'd be better off to call ourselves a group of Christians, because we all kind of know what that means. So 1 Corinthians 12 is one of those passages that's actually, if you've got your Bible there and you're holding it open at that passage, you're looking at a work of pure genius, that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to use the human body as an illustration for who we are and how we are to work together to fulfill God's plan in our lifetime. This is just a pure genius. Not Paul's genius, of course. It's the Holy Spirit's genius. And we wouldn't and shouldn't be surprised that it is that. Take your hand, have a look at it, feel it, squeeze it open in and out. Squeeze the person next to you if you want to. That's there. Check your pulse. Feel that. Feel your lifeblood pumping around your body. Go on, do it. Don't just stand there sit there with your arms folded. Breathe. Listen to your breathing. Look into the eyes of someone near you. Look at those eyes. Look at them. Incredible. The human body. Just because we don't have to make our body work, it's so easy to just take it for granted. If we had a physio here amongst us today and we had a detective, the term body would throw up different things to them. And the detective walks into the room and says, "Where's the body?" He means the corpse. A physio, when he's talking or she's talking about a body or looking at a body, she's seeing this incredible, intricate combination of all kinds of things that is marvellous and wonderful to work on and yet is a mystery as well. When Paul uses the word body, he's not using it in the form of a detective. And yet sometimes that's what we think. The body of Christ is sort of the dead body of Christ. But just that term in itself, the body of Christ. One of the classic metaphors in the New Testament of what does it mean to be a Christian? And what does it mean to belong to the group of Christians that we call the church? It's a body, a living body. And there are some pretty obvious, self-evident facts that emerge from that. And that's what he talks about here in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're just going to go through some of these. And they are very, very self-evident. Of course, a body is something that is living. Well, of course it is. I didn't even put that in one of the points, but that should be the first point, I guess. We take it for granted. It's a living body. It's not a machine, but it's a living body. But also, as he talks about in this passage, we are a gifted body. A gifted body. So let's stop and let's think about that. A gifted body. We are a body of people who have been given, firstly, someone. The fundamental gift that we all have, which we cannot be a Christian unless we've got this gift, of course, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what enables us to live, what enables us to breathe and function together as a group of Christians. A gifted body, the Holy Spirit, in each one of us. He's already introduced the Corinthians to the Spirit back in chapter 6 when he talks about how our bodies, our physical bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who has been given to us. We are not our own, but we've been bought with the price. Therefore, we are to glorify God in our bodies or with our bodies. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, didn't we? About as God reveals himself through us to the watching world, then so he glorifies himself through us. A gifted body. This passage talks about gifts. And just that word gift, it's most self-evident, isn't it, that it is a gift. The Spirit has been given to us by God. And as the Spirit comes into our life, he brings with him gifts. Other things that he works through, and the way he works through us is through his gifts in us. That's why it's not about us. It's about him. It's not even really about what we do. It's about what he does in us and through us. We talked the other week about how being is more important than doing, who we are. The Holy Spirit at work in us, recreating us, making us into the new man and the new woman that is in his plans and in his mind. And so it's being that person, and then that being overflows in the doing. But even the doing, if we're thinking about this term gift, even the doing is not our doing. It's his doing through us. That's so basic, isn't it? And yet I think we forget about that a lot. And we focus very much on us rather than on him. And of course, the world that we live in finds the whole idea of because here a gift implies a giver. And the society that we live in finds the whole idea of a giver, someone outside of ourselves that does something for us that we can't do for ourselves and then empowers us to do stuff that we cannot do ourselves, that idea of a giver is distasteful in the society in which we live. And yet for us Christians, the idea of the giver is at the core of it all. It's all about the giver. It's all about what he wants to give us and what he wants to do in us. And in fact, if there was no giver, we couldn't and probably wouldn't and probably shouldn't do anything, because it all then would come back to us. And what is there in us that we can actually do that is going to be productive or helpful or fruitful or beneficial in someone else's life? Left to ourselves, who are we? We know what we're like. We know what we were like before he came into our life. So in that sense, when we talk about gifts, only Christians can really talk about gifts. Society talks about talents and skills and, you know, attributes and strengths and assets and all those sorts of things. And sometimes they will use the word a gifted person, but it's really only Christians that can use this term gift, because the giver is the one who gives the gifts. And so we're a gifted body. And in some senses we could spend a long time just focusing on that. A gifted body. Before I became a pastor, I worked in a surveying company. And in that surveying company, I was the bottom of the pile. It's called a chainman. And you were just the labourer, really. You'd go out with the surveyor and you'd help him measure and you'd help him run off the angles and all those things. First day on the job, you were given two gifts from the boss. One was a plumb bob, which is a little pear-shaped thing. You imagine a pear and turn it upside down so it's bigger at the top than at the bottom, on a string. You keep it in your little leather pouch, and you were given an axe. Those two things were to be with you all the time. They were gifts to you. They weren't yours. You gave them back to the boss when you finished your job years down the track. But in the meantime, they were yours to keep, yours to look after, yours to sharpen or keep clean or whatever, and yours to use. Because it was through those two things that you were able to do your job. The axe, of course, was to scare away all the people. The axe was to climb up trees and chop off limbs or chop down the tree if it was in the line of sight to where we were wanting to do this. And sometimes we were doing road center lines, and so we were working in very thick, bushy country. And it would be ridiculous for me to say to the guy, I left my axe at home today, but it doesn't matter, I'm okay. And you climb up the tree and, you know, spit on your hand and start doing some karate chops to the branch. It'd be ridiculous. Well, in the same sense, it's ridiculous for us Christians to think that we can lift a finger to serve God without the gifting to do it. Because it is his work in us, and he chooses to work through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through the giftings that he gives to us. Now, reading on those verses as Neville read them to us, verses 4 down particularly to 11, what really stands out here is that the gifting within the group of Christians is incredibly diverse. And yet, amazingly, that group of Christians are not divided in their giftings. Diverse. Look at all the different ones that he talks about there. Notice in verse 4, there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of services. Verse 6, there are varieties of activities, That's repeated again and again and again, but it's also repeated, but the same Spirit, verse 4, the same Lord, verse 5, the same God, verse 6, who activates all of them in everyone. So that's one of the great self-evident things when it comes to the body of Christ. There's this incredible diversity, but the body of Christ is not divided. Diversity doesn't need to lead to division, because there's a unity, because it is the Holy Spirit that is not just giving the gifts, but the Holy Spirit is working through those gifts. And when each of us are allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, to control us, to empower us day by day, then that's the way the Holy Spirit maintains this incredible unity that can be amongst the Christians. These gifts are for serving Him. They're not for, you know, like that axe and that plumb bob was not for me to come home and say, wow, look, I've got this fantastic axe. And so I'd, you know, oil the handle and shine up the blade and then stick it up on my, you know, trophy cabinet or something. Or the axe wasn't there, or the plumb bob wasn't there for me to polish up. It was made of brass. You don't get to work and swing the thing by its string around your head and say, wow, look at me, look at me. My plumb bob's shinier than everybody else's. The plumb bob and the axe were there to be used. The gifts are not for private polishing. They're not for public displays of arrogant pride. They're there for using, just for getting down and serving in that area where God has empowered us and equipped us to. And it would seem to me, as we think about how diversely creative our Creator is, that the area of giftedness would be incredibly diverse as well, and creative and infinite. Even people who have the same giftings will do that differently because they're unique individuals. It's a rich picture that's painted when we think of the body of Christ. And we're not clones with one another. There's not some key person that's, you know, that's the epitome of a good Christian, so everybody strives to be like that person. We are so unique, and God wants us to be the unique person that He is creating us to become. Even if we are to all be becoming Christ-like, but how Christ-likeness shows out in us all is so unique and so individual and so different. And it's such a rich thing, and there's freedom in all of that. Freedom for us to be us, the us that God wants us to be. Not the us that, you know, Joe Bloggs wants us to be, or the pastor wants us to be, or the, you know, the husband wants us to be, or the youth group leader. And that's the journey of following the Lord, isn't it? Lifelong journey of continuing to become the person that He wants us to be. And that involves, if we're part of the group of Christians, the body of Christ, the church, that involves us discovering this diverse gifting and the overflowing and the expressing of all of that. So, diversity without division that's there. There's a rule of thumb in verse 7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And that underlines what I was saying before. The gifting's not for us. My gifting's not for me. My gifting is for you. And your gifting is for me or for others around you. It's for the common good, so that the whole body can grow and become all that it's wanting to do. Another little rule of thumb that I think we sometimes forget, and it's connected to this idea that when we think of the word church, we think of the building, or we think of what happens on Sunday. The body of Christ, the church, is the people, 24/7. And sometimes we are the the body of Christ gathered together like we might be today. Sometimes we are the body of Christ scattered all over the place. The vast majority of our time is we are the body of Christ scattered all over the place. Some of our gifting will be primarily useful when we are the body of Christ gathered. But some of our giftings is primarily useful when we are the body of Christ scattered. So we're not to get into that kind of mindset of just thinking that it's what that goes on here that's important and the rest of my life isn't important, or what I do sort of, you know, if we sort of limit Christian ministry, if you like, to particular things, you know, particular, you know, being a part of perhaps a church organisation or even a Christian organisation. And so, well, that's where my giftings can be used. And so, you know, and forgetting all about the other stuff. If the majority of our time is lived as the body of Christ scattered, then surely that means that the majority of our giftings are going to be exercised when we are the body of Christ scattered. And that's just as important. That's as much a part of the Holy Spirit working through us and in us and with us as it is when we come together. But again, sometimes we focus too much. And let's just think of how that limits things. Because not everybody has the opportunity. Because people's giftings are so different. And so it's this allowing God to, and as it says there, what does it say, verse 11? All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. And as it says there, allots to each one individually. There's another self-evident truth that means everyone. Each one means everyone individually. There's nobody within the body of Christ who has the gift of the Holy Spirit in their life, and that's what makes them part of the body of Christ. None of those people have not been gifted as the giver has come into their life. So it's a matter of just letting God run with us, letting God lift us. And, you know, the sort of ideal kind of spirit, I suppose, in a little S sort of sense, the ideal kind of thing that God would want is for us to be focusing on, okay, well, you know, what is it that he's doing in my life? How is he inspiring me? What are the passions that I'm this is where I want to be involved. This is what I want to do for the Lord. I'm feeling compassion. I'm overwhelmed by you know, these difficulties that may be in some area of society or in someone's life or in the street that we live or whatever, and there's a gifting that we have, and so there's this inspiring of us to want to do something about that. And so we raise up to that. We allow God to lift us to that. That's the empowering. That's the inspiring, the God breathing of it. There may be others around us in the body of Christ who have similar giftings, and they're having the same, you know, awareness, the same sort of trying to hesitate using the word birthing, but that's kind of what I'm thinking of, this dawning of this. And so we get together and we do something about it. Someone else, you know, sees that and sees all these compassionate people or sees this area of need, but their gifting is, you know, really organizing things and getting everything neatly organized in their mind and on the paper and whatever. So they get alongside too, and they say, well, I've got this same kind of need to be involved. I just love doing this. I want to do this. And so they get alongside of that. Others are being prompted in their praying. And so they want to know what they can pray about, who they can pray about. So it just starts to just bubble up all over the place. It just bubbles up a bit like that garden out there, you know, that was pretty barren a few, you know, weeks ago, but the water's been on it. It's rained a few times. Go out and have a look at it. All these things have just shot up. Some of them are weeds, but majority aren't. They aren't. They're these amazing little things. And they got flowers on them one day down the track. And they were just there, under the surface somehow, dormant. But we know when the water gets on them, so they start bubbling up. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit starts working in our life, in our corporate lives as a church. That's what talks about a church being alive. It's connected. Years ago, I injured my shoulder. I think it was playing basketball for Hawthorne Church of Christ, actually. But I tore a whole lot of things in my shoulder, and one of the things was the nerves I ripped out. And so once the pain all died down, the struggle was that I couldn't lift my hand above my waist. Just could not do it. It didn't hurt. There was just nothing there. I could take the other hand and I could lift it through all kinds of movements and do all kinds of things, but as soon as I let it go, it would just fall. Because the nerves had been severed there, and there was no sort of the, however way you properly say that medically, wasn't happening in my shoulder. And gradually it grew back, and suddenly then my shoulder was able to respond to the brain impulses and all of those sorts of things. And that's a healthy body of Christ when we are, in that sense, responding to what the Lord is doing in our life. Not the, we need a couple of people to do this. No one's around, and others are sitting there thinking, maybe, and put your hand up, and, no one else is doing it. Someone's got to do it, unwillingly and probably in a different sort of area to what we're gifted in anyway. And so a hand starts trying to be a foot, and a foot starts trying to be a fingernail or something, and away we go. So there's this natural way, supernatural, I suppose we should say, of where the Holy Spirit is just working through the body. And they're just obvious things if you stop and think about what does it mean when God uses the human body as an illustration of who we are as Christians corporately together as the body of Christ, and how we are to function together to fulfill God's purposes in our lifetime. There are many more things that we can talk about, and perhaps, God willing, we'll go on and talk about those next week. But let's just leave it in those two areas there. A gifted body, a living body, of course, first. A gifted body, a diversely gifted body, but not divided because of the Holy Spirit who is at work through us. Loving Heavenly Father, we think of the orchestra and the beautiful, beautiful music that comes together, with all of the different noises and instruments and things that are going on there. And we marvel at that, Father, at how a composer can do all of that, and how everybody, is a part of that wonderful harmony that follows. And we think of choirs and that. And we think, Father, of our human body, and we marvel at it, Father. And those of us that are getting old, and some of those things are not working like they used to, and some of the connections are not there like they used to, Father, we just makes us marvel even more of how it's so easy to take for granted this incredible human body that you've given to us. It's so much more than just the physical, Lord. And then for us to think beyond that of the body of Christians that you have placed us in, and that together we are your body, your living body. Oh, loving Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you've thought of all of this. You've got your plans and your purposes. And that not only to be saved, Father, but to serve you is all in our new wiring as Christians. We're going to be fulfilled, Lord, more and more and more as the years go by, as we allow you to just continue that plan and purpose that you started in us when you first brought us to yourself. But all these ways of of being part of the body. We're all there in your mind. So, loving Father, we just pray that you help us to understand this. And you'll help us, Father, to just allow you to make this so in our church life. Make it so in our own life. Because, Father, we know that at the end of the day, it is all about you, the giver, giver of life. And it's all about us allowing you to use us, that others may come to receive you too. So we thank you, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.